Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, what we really talk about is a faith-filled vision and perspective. Let me ask you a question. How many times do you, when you're looking on the internet, just the normal run-of-the-mill things on the internet, that you haven't gone to specifically Christian websites, but just general ones, secular ones, how many times do you hear them speak about heaven, speak about eternal life, speak about hope in God's promises? How many times do you hear that? How many times in your workplace during the day do you hear that? Do you ever hear it? Does anybody regularly in your life ever talk about heaven? Why is it? Why is it that the very place we were made, we were created for, to be, we don't talk about? We're so tied into this earth and the things of this earth that we don't give our eternal destination, our eternal destiny, much thought. Somebody said to me one day, well, that's morbid. No, it isn't. When I start thinking about what awaits me in heaven, it gives me much more courage and much more hope to follow him on this earth. Think about that. How much do you think about heaven? Think about eternal life. Think about what the scriptures say about it. Read through them. Pray through them. Let's take a look at the readings today, because Paul, again, in his letter, first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, he tells us some of what that means. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, about those who have fallen asleep, that is, those who have died, so that you may not grieve like the rest who have no hope. When somebody died, that was it. And he said, I don't want you to grieve like that. Of course you're going to grieve. Loss of people you love, loss of the people you've worked with or whatever, of course you're going to grieve. You should grieve. But don't grieve like one who has no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose, so too will God, through Jesus, bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Fallen asleep, that is, died. Indeed, we tell you this on the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will surely not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, with the word of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, will come down from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, in other words, if we're still here when the end of the world comes, we will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Therefore, we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, console one another with these words. It's not being unreal to think about heaven. I mean, goodness, how many times when we plan a trip to some place we've never been before, how much we pore over what's described about this country or the places of interest that we want to see. We pore over them. We learn as much as we can about them so that we can derive all that we hope for when we go to those places. Well, how much more should we be doing that about heaven? What is heaven? What does it mean? What's it like? Get your catechism out. Look up heaven. Read the scriptures. Read the teaching of the church. Learn where you're going. It's very important, brothers and sisters, especially when life on this earth at times is very difficult. We need to know what awaits us. If we persevere here in faith, we need to know what awaits us. Psalm 96 tells us the Lord comes to judge the earth. He comes to rule the earth. He shall rule the world with justice and the peoples with his constancy. And if we follow him, we will reign with him. We'll not just get over the border, but if we follow him in this life, we will reign with him. We will be in glory with him. We will share in the divine life. We don't think about these things enough, brothers and sisters. We need to. And the gospel for today is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 16 to 30. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and he went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read, and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unfolded the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." God is offering us blessing, but we need to walk with him to experience it. We can't experience it if we just have a very superficial relationship. We need to seek to cultivate it, to grow in it. Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. It's quite a passage he wrote. Quite a passage he read. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor." He's speaking of himself. "He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll after he's given this message, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. When you were going to give a teaching of authority in the Jewish tradition, you sat. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. And he said to them, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, he had come. He was the one. He was anointed to bring glad tidings to the poor. He was sent, Jesus, to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. He was sent to do that, and he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. So far, so good. But then look what happens, and it's just the human condition. But they also ask, "Is not this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and say, 'Do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum.'" So they said this to Jesus. And he said, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." Naaman was a pagan. Naaman was the only one healed. And when the people in the synagogue heard this, they were filled with fury. Why are they filled with fury? Because they are saying, "Don't we know this guy? Isn't this Joseph? Wasn't he raised in Nazareth? Who does he think he is?" They weren't listening. And therefore they missed the reality that the Messiah, for which they as a people had prayed for thousands of years, had come, and they couldn't recognize him. Why? Because they didn't really seek him. They had an image of the one who was going to come and destroy their enemies and set them free. He was going to come with power and majesty and glory. And how did he come? A baby, just like all of us, grew up in poverty, lived the life of a carpenter, nothing known there, nothing big there, nothing important there. Therefore, who does he think he is? Brothers and sisters, how many times do we do the same thing? We miss the signs of God. We miss the actions of God. Because we look at the messenger And we think, well, he's just like one of us. Therefore, you discount what he says. They also ask, is not this the son of Joseph? And he said to them, surely you will quote me this proverb, physician, cure yourself, and say, do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum. And they're going, yeah, yeah, yeah. If you're the Messiah, do something. But he said, amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath. So see what he's saying is, when the Lord comes, when the Lord acts in the Old Testament, he came to the poor. He came to the weak. He came to the unknown. He didn't come to the scribes and Pharisees. He came to the little ones. And they hear what he's saying, and they're furious. They're furious. When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were filled with fury. What do you mean? Only Naaman the Syrian, only a pagan was cleansed. This violates everything we believe. Who do you think you are? You're an imposter. When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up. They drove him out of the town and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built to hurl him down headlong. That's how furious they were, brothers and sisters. They couldn't hear the truth because they had created their own world. They had created their own laws, the scribes and Pharisees. And Jesus was not having any of it. And they thought they were justified in their fury. You are an imposter. They were going to kill him. But he passed through the midst of them and went away. Why? Because his hour had not yet come. Brothers and sisters, how many times do we fall into the same thing? With other people, with real disciples of God, with messengers of God. Yes, it needs discernment because there are false ones and true ones. Absolutely, it needs discernment. But if you read the Word of God, if you're formed by the Word, if you frequent the sacraments, you're going to have eyes to see and ears to hear the truth when it's spoken. We get on so many bandwagons that end up falling apart. It's because we're not discriminating enough. We don't have the mind and the heart of God. Because we're choosing to live by our own standards, our own values, our own priorities. Take the values and standards of the gospel, live by them, and you will grow in the discernment to know when God is speaking through someone. You'll grow in wisdom, and you'll be able not only to help your own family, but you'll be able to help a whole lot of other people. Because most today, all we do is parrot what we hear on the internet. Brothers and sisters, that's no way to lead a people, ever, anywhere. Please take the Lord's word seriously and follow him with all your heart. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.